Good morning. I too want to welcome the visitors. It is a privilege to have you with us this morning. And I want to greet you in Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be here. It's a blessing to be back home. This morning, I've titled the message, Accepting Life's Lessons. And I'll confess that we had a busy week. Still had 24 hours in every day, but I didn't get as much studying done as I would have liked to. So I trust that God will guide your hearts and that He has a blessing for you today as we open ourselves to Him. How many times have we looked at circumstances in life or a situation and thought it to be positive or negative for that matter, and it turned out opposite of what we thought? Think about your life and something we perceive to be negative, and it turns out it has a positive ending or otherwise. This morning, I want to turn our focus to God as the creator and the sustainer of life. And the reality that we are only here for a short season. Our days are numbered. And we know that in God's love, He wants to dwell with each one of us in that perfect unity in heaven. And for us to dwell in heaven with God, He has us in a school here called the School of Life. So how we spend our school of life, or life, however you want to call it, how we spend our time here affects our eternity. We all know that. How we accept circumstances that life brings will determine if we fail the lesson God is trying to teach us. I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah 55. We were pushing cows yesterday, and so some of these thoughts are from high elevation, so I hope they make sense. Isaiah 55, verse 8. I'll read verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is not trying to put us down by saying this. He's just sharing us a reality with us that I know you because I created you. And He put time and effort into our creation. And He said, therefore, I know you from front to back. I know what choices you will make. I know what your destiny is when you're born. And I'm sure that you have wondered, I have wondered, if God loves us so much, why does He seemingly allow hard things to happen to us? Well, I think I'll get into this a little more later, but I think largely it's how we perceive life. What do we perceive as good or bad? If we understood the end result of every situation, then we would better know if it was good or bad. But we don't. So many times we perceive a circumstance to be negative when I believe that God in his love and care is teaching us a far more valuable lesson than we within what we hold as valuable. When I believe that God is trying to give me something far more valuable through a difficulty I may face, will not that fact change how we perceive the hard knocks of life? It is my desire this morning to learn the lessons God is trying to teach me. My prayer is the same for you. Rather than struggling and being confused about why we have to face hard things, I want to read a short story here. This is only a parable to gain a lesson from. Long ago, there was a widowed Chinese farmer. The farmer and his only son labored through the cold winds of winter and the scorching rays of summer with their last remaining horse. One day, the son didn't lock the gate of the stable properly, and the horse bolted away. When the neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What sadness this is. Without your horse, you'll be unable to maintain the farm. What a failure that your son did not lock the gate properly. This is a great tragedy." To this, the farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no." The next day, the missing horse returned to the farmer's stable, bringing along with it six wild horses. The farmer's son locked the gate of the stable firmly behind all seven horses. When the neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What happiness this brings. With seven horses, you'll be able to maintain the farm with three of them and sell the rest for huge profits. What a blessing." To this, the farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no." The next day, the farmer's son was breaking one of the wild horses. The son got thrown from the horse, fell hard on the rocks, and broke his leg. When the neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What sadness this is. Now you'll be unable to count on your son's help. What a failure to break the horse properly. What a tragedy." Again, the farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no." The next day, a general from the Imperial Chinese Army arrived to conscript all of the young men of the village into the army. Their assignment was to fight on the front lines of the battle against a terrifying enemy of overwhelming force. The farmer's son, because of his broken leg, was not taken. When the neighbors learned what happened, they came to the farmer and said, "What great joy! Your son avoided facing certain death in the front lines of battle. What a blessing." To this, the farmer replied, "Maybe yes, maybe no." Okay, I want to think about this story. But I want to keep moving on now to an example in the Bible. And I want to look at Joseph's life and think about some of the circumstances that happened to him and the many seemingly flip-flop in circumstances that he faced, but all for a purpose. You can turn with me to Genesis 37. (Clears throat) And I'm not going to read the entire account. I think it would be 5 or 6 chapters. So we'll just pull some verses from here. Some of the events that happened to Joseph. And as we read these, think about your life and the hard things you have faced. Are we getting where God wants us to get in life? Is my burden this morning. Because God is a God of love, and He'll continue to work with us. And so the sooner we get our lesson, the sooner we can move on to His purpose. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So we think it must have been nice to be the favorite amongst all the brothers. He was so singled out that he made a special coat for him. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Let's move on down to verse 4 to 8. I'm going to read this. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray ye, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. We see here his father's favoritism created a hatred for Joseph. And the dream that Joseph had made them hate him all the more. But you see, we can see this story unfolding already. It's easy to see because we know the story front to back. In our life, we don't know the story front to back. And therefore, when we face these seemingly hard things, we view them as a negative experience. Okay, now moving down to chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his clothes. Sorry, I lost my spot here. Stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Again, what appears to be a tragedy. Can we imagine if our blood brothers hated us so bad that they were going to kill us? Worse yet, they were going to leave us in a pit with no water to starve. Can you imagine what Joseph felt? But this wasn't in God's plan for him to stay in that pit to die. Moving down to verse 28. Then there passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph unto Egypt. Again, a negative, seemingly negative experience. How could being getting sold into slavery be positive? It's not like a jail bond where you can go buy them back. He was a slave now. K, Okay, now moving to chapter 39, verse 1 to 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Wow, how the tables turned so quickly. Joseph had in his control all of Potiphar's house. And under his leadership, everything was under Joseph's leadership. We would perceive this to be a great blessing, right? Move down to verse 20 in chapter 39. And Joseph's master took him. Okay, yes. This is where Potiphar's wife accused him, Joseph, wrongly. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Okay, so he was put over a lot, given a lot of responsibility, seemingly doing everything he knew to do right, and he gets accused of something that he didn't do. What good could Joseph accomplish in prison? He was an important person. This must have been a mistake. Okay, now let's see his purpose in prison in chapter 41. I'm actually not going to read these verses here, but he gets thrown into prison, and he interprets the butler and the baker's dream. And we know how the butler was in 3 days killed, and I'm sorry, the baker in 3 days was killed. The butler was turned back to his job working for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler remembered what Joseph had done in prison and told Pharaoh about it. And let's go to verse 37 here now. So Joseph, they go and get Joseph. He tells Pharaoh the meaning of his dream. And here in verse 37, this is the result. And the thing was good in his eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So this is where Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of everything. He said, everything except the very throne that I sat on. And then later on in chapter 42 through chapter 46, because of God's plan, because of the hardship that Joseph accepted, Joseph was reunited with his family. And because of his willingness to be a slave, to be a prisoner, He was reunited with his family and able to save them in a famine. And while this story is very common, it is very real to life about how we, when we can see things, or we think we see things all the way through, we're happy to do them. But when we're unable to see the outcomes, we're very hesitant. And the lessons that God sends us, we balk against. So back to this Chinese farmer. Perhaps this story can teach us not to make a judgment on what God is trying to send us, but rather to accept what God gives us and allow Him to work out the details. We so badly want to label things good or bad, and I think that's partly to do with our desire to be in control of a situation. The farmers, we could look at this and say, maybe this was the farmer's rightful detachment from what was not within his control. Well, there's many conclusions that we could draw, but how about for us? It would probably look rather sloppy if we would answer in that kind of a way. But I think there is value in that kind of surrender, that we are accepting whatever comes our way. There are things which are within our power to do, and there are things that are beyond our power to do. Let's do everything we know to do. Within our power is choice and desire and our goals in life. Losing his horse and gaining new horses, his son's broken leg, and his son's avoiding deadly combat, all are matters that were not within the farmer's control. And the farmer was wise not to let these external things outside of his control disturb his peace. I quote, "I am determined to be cheerful and happy in whatever situation I may find myself, for I have learned that the greater part of our misery or unhappiness is determined not by our circumstances, but rather our surrender to God." The farmer seems to have what is asked for in the serenity prayer. "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Or maybe this story teaches us how what appears to be initially bad may ultimately be a blessing. Our short-term thinking is not always right. Remember, his thoughts are higher than ours. How often has something looked like a major setback, or even a tragedy, and turns out to be a blessing? I'm not going to share a lot of for instances. I think this is a personal thing with you and your life. But think about your life and negatives that have turned positive. And as I thought about mine. There's many. But when my brother passed away, I thought that it couldn't be worse. And how can positive come out of that? But it has drawn our family closer. And there has been positives come out of that. We don't often see I'm sorry, let me back up here. We do not often see, only in hindsight, do we not often see only in hindsight that a difficulty was just what we needed to grow and flourish long term? We've talked about short term vision, short term eyesight. What about the long term? Painful and challenging experiences often lead to development, especially when we are able to look at them and reword them as opportunities to grow in our skills and in our virtues. Because he who learns must suffer. Think about that. I hope that's an accurate statement. But observe others' lives, and I think you'll find it true. In our own despair and against our will sometimes, God's wisdom comes to us. Terrible suffering is a medicine that is so dangerous that can only rightfully be employed by the great physician. So just a few things here in closing. Believe that everything that happens to you in life, whether negative or positive, has further-reaching effects than just one event. Believe that we are here for a season. I said earlier, life is short. And that life is a school to prepare us for something much greater. Believe that God is in control and that he knows every aspect of our life from beginning until the end. He understands the negative things that we need to face for a positive outcome. Believe that our response to what life brings us, whether we perceive it to be positive or negative, how we respond to that determines our peace and our joy here and our final destination, final destiny. If we believe God is in control and that he is bigger, that he has a bigger plan for us than what we can see, it'll help, excuse me, it'll help so much in accepting the things we don't understand. So, accept your lot in life and embrace it, because we don't understand the bigger picture right now. One day we will. I like that song, "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken." And I want to just quote a little bit from that. "Soon shall close the earthly mission. Swift shall pass the pilgrim days. Hope shall change to glad fruition. Faith to sight and prayer to praise." May God bless you as you find the value in every situation that comes your way in life.